Matthew 22, verse 34. That's the last time I'm saying it. Matthew. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. He was Jesus Christ. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, Jesus Christ, tempting him, saying, so he wasn't asking because he wanted to be educated or become more knowledgeable. He asked him a question to tempt him, to try to trick him so that they could accuse him. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ made it very simple. He didn't, you know, beat around the bush. He gave a straightforward answer, and they didn't really have any, you know, any way to, any recourse to go at him. But he, notice, he didn't get into do's and don'ts. You know, he didn't get into the Ten Commandments or any of the other stuff. He didn't get into any legal mumbo jumbo. Just love God and love thy neighbor. And real love is from God. And to truly love, we have to be in tune with God. And we have to have his spirit. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. You know, Thanksgiving is really, you know, it's just a tradition in our country, right? And, I don't know how true the traditional story is of Thanksgiving. I'm sure there is some truth to it, but then there's a lot of people say, well, it really wasn't like that. I don't know. I wasn't there. Janet might have been. Anyway. But at any rate, you know, it is a great tradition. And when George Washington was president the first Thanksgiving, he made a proclamation that they should have a Thanksgiving Day. That did not make it a legal holiday. It was just he did that the first time. Later on, many years later, they actually proclaimed it a legal holiday. Okay? But, you know, in the New Testament, we're not really told to have any holidays. We're not told to do anything, and we do it of our own accord because we want to, but it's not dictated to us that we're to celebrate anything. We're not to be observers or times or seasons. But we are told that we should love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. In Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. In verse 1 it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost is Holy Spirit in the Greek, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What a great thing. And that day of Pentecost really made it possible for us to be in tune with God and to truly love because we received of his Spirit for the first time in history. I have a book that I ordered because my wife read something that this particular guy wrote. So I looked him up on the internet and I got a book, and it's about, I don't know, really thick. And it was this guy that lived back in the early 1900s, and I guess he was a minister of sorts. I'm not sure what denomination or anything, but he went to South Africa for a long period of time and then came back. And his name was John G. Lake. And he wrote about the day of Pentecost. He says, that filling of the Holy Ghost, that coming of the living Spirit of Jesus Christ upon mankind, was the dawning morning of the first Christian day. That was the day dawn of Christianity. Christianity never existed before. Religion existed, but Christianity never existed before. Christianity has a secret. Bless God, the secret of divine power, the secret that makes it different from all other known religions. That's pretty cool. And this guy was pretty interesting, and he was very well known for healing. You know, he's kind of like an Oral Roberts kind of guy. He tells the story, the part I read where I got this out of. This lady came, and she looked like she was pregnant, but she wasn't. And it was in 1908, or, you know, around that period of time. And he came to where he was teaching, and she went into the prayer room. I guess they had a prayer room where people that had needs would go. And she said, you know, the doctors, many doctors have talked, and they can't figure out what's wrong with me. I'm not with child because the time has passed. And so he prayed with her, and he said, it's a tumor. So she goes home, and she comes back the next day, and she looks normal. And she said, I didn't know that I was healed when I left here when you prayed for me. But at that night, I felt the inside, the choking and the whatever it was, pressure went away, and I woke up in the morning, and I was normal. It's pretty cool, huh? So this guy was pretty interesting. Anyway, let's go to 2 Peter, because that's what it's all about. You know, we have Holy Spirit, and we can walk with our Father. We can truly love Him, and we can be God conscious all the time. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter and verse 11. Says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, speaking of the first heaven and earth, or the heaven and earth that we live in, he says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved in the future, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? God, by way of His Son, Jesus Christ, put His Holy Spirit in us, and we can live our life in godliness, which is what? A true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. Now, that's a choice, right? We can decide to do that, or we can decide not to. But we have the ability. We can walk with God. He's with us all the time, every day. When we are born again, that gift of Holy Spirit has brought us into perfect union with Him, with God. And, you know, we can live that way because of that Holy Spirit. We've been made righteous. We've been sanctified. Let's go to Hebrews. Go back a couple of pages. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, which is all the great believers that are spoken about in chapter 11. It's not people floating around in the sky. They've been advertising on TV this special about Martin Scorsese, whatever his name. Yeah, he did a whole thing on the saints, and he's doing, you know, John the Baptist and Joan of Arc and a couple of others, and they're talking about what saints are and all this stuff. But we're all saints, right? We're all sanctified. When we get Holy Spirit, we are sanctified. That's what makes a saint. Not that you do some special act or... We probably all have seen miracles in our lives, you know? And, of course, the greatest miracle is that we got born again. We have Holy Spirit within us. Anyway, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And it sure does. It's easy sometimes to get distracted. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or our believing, or the foundation for our believing, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ was sent He was given to us to save us from ourselves. You know, because we were all born with sin nature. And certainly to deliver us from the power of darkness, right? And the power of Satan. But he was also sent to be our example of a son living in perfect union with the Father. You know, and if he tells us that we are, or we can, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we must surely be able to do that, right? Now, God knows we're going to make mistakes, but he also took care of that also, right? He sent his son to pay the full price for all our sins, past, present, and future. Let's go to Philippians. You know, this is not exactly a Thanksgiving day or a Thanksgiving teaching, but you know, when you consider all that God has done for us, we are to be thankful. And it says in Thessalonians, we're to be thankful in everything, all the time. And there's no excuse not to be thankful. In chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the word mind is the word thoughts. Let the thoughts that were in Christ Jesus be in us also. You see? We're to think the way he thought. In the Working Translation, it says, think in this manner within yourselves, which was also the thinking that was in Christ Jesus. Again, this guy John Lake, he wrote, when the Spirit of Christ came upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost and produced in them of necessity that which was in the mind of Christ, the same consciousness of power and victory and dominion and Christ-likeness that was common to the nature of Jesus himself as he sat down in triumph at God's right hand. That was pretty interesting. But you know, it's Christ in us, isn't it? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Or chapter 10, sorry. Chapter 10. You know, we have that, we can have that consciousness. You know, every time we speak in tongues, what is it? It's a witness to us, right? That we have Christ in us, that we're born again, that we're God's children. It's God in Christ in us. In chapter 10, verse 2, it says, verse 3, sorry. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. The word war is labor. For the weapons or the tools of our warfare or labor are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a great thing. Every time we speak in tongues, we are communing with the creator of the universe, right? When we learn about speaking in tongues, one of the things it says is you're speaking the wonderful works of God, you know, divine secrets, and so on. When we speak in tongues, we're communing with the creator of the universe. But he's also our Father, and he works in us. And the more conscious we are of him, the more victorious and powerful our life will be. Pretty simple. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10. It's 10? Yeah, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're not to be strong in our own abilities, our own intellectual capacity, but we're to be strong in the Lord. We're to look to God. We're to look to his son, Jesus Christ. In every situation, we look to them for our deliverance, for our strength. Again, the Working Translation says, henceforth be strong, or be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability. You know, his ability is what? Unlimited, infinite, all powerful. What's our ability? Limited, very limited, very not so much. And let's go to Colossians. It says in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 10 of Colossians. And this is a prayer. It says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And to walk worthy of the Lord is to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. That's who the Lord refers to there. And increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And you know, that's really cool when you think about it, because sometimes in life, things happen that are negative, or there are bumps in the road, and the deliverance is not necessarily instantaneous, is it?
Right.
You know, sometimes we pray, and we have to wait for the deliverance, or we have to wait for the answer. There are so many records in the Bible of people praying and having to wait, you know, for God to deliver them, to get the answer, to have God tell them what to do. Think about Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, when he heard about Lazarus dying. Didn't Jesus Christ want to go immediately? Mm-hmm. And then he took criticism from the apostles. They said, you know, let's go heal him. Let's go to his aid. And he said, no, not yet. And he waited 4 days. And then when they went, the first thing that happens is one of the sisters comes up and says, you know, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And then the other sister comes and she says the exact same thing. And then he raises him from the dead. Well, he had to wait 4 days for that. Why? Because that was God's timing. That was God's deliverance. And that deliverance was a great witness to all the people. So it says, you know, we are to be strengthened with his might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We can have patience and long-suffering, and we can rejoice in it because we know that God will give us the answer. He will deliver us. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or adequate, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a great thing. He has made us adequate. He has made us meet to be heirs of the inheritance. So when we walk in the Spirit, which is we're in tune with God, we're listening to God, and we're walking according to his word, as we speak in tongues, as we put the word in our mind, as we allow him to work in us, we become more aware, more conscious of God, our Father, in every aspect of our lives. Let's go to John chapter 5. To me, this is one of the most remarkable verses in the Bible. Verse 30. Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He said, I can do nothing by myself. If I try to do it on my own, nothing's going to happen. But what did he say? I always do the will of my Father. I always judge according to his judgment. What a great thing. Let's go to chapter 8. He's our example. So if he couldn't do it without God's help, what about us? Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, the Pharisees and you know all those guys. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Again, he said, I don't do this on my own. I do it because God tells me, and I speak these things because he tells me what to speak. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And that's our example. He always did his best. He always tried to please God, not himself. And that's a great, it's a great lesson for us. It's a great example. And he was always God conscious. You know, he was always aware of what his Father wanted him to do. And his example to us is that we should be the same way. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll finish up. Chapter 8, verse 14. For as many, chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's us. We have the Spirit of God in us. So, sons meaning sons and daughters, right? His children. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, which should be sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That every time we speak in tongues, what does it do? It bears witness that he's our Father, that he's cares. We heard it so much in the prayers and in the manifestations today, how much God loves us, how he'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never let us down. You know, and that's what he's saying here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. For we have received the Spirit, not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know, we didn't deserve that inheritance. Jesus Christ earned that inheritance. But we share it fully with him. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's pretty enormous, incredible. So if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So, you know, we're going to endure things in this life, but we're going to be glorified together with him. What a great thing. And then it says in the next verse, for I reckon or I account that the sufferings of this present time, all things we have to go through in this life, no matter how horrible or how tough, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What a great thing. So, you know, we can be God conscious all the time. We can be aware of him working in us and telling us what we should do and helping us through life. You know, he'll direct our paths. He'll show us the way. We just need to listen to him. And the more we put his word in our minds, the more we speak in tongues, the more we are God conscious, the greater is going to be that connection. So, Father God, we thank you for this day, and we are so thankful for that Holy Spirit that you gave on the day of Pentecost. And that we can truly be Christians. We're not just religious fanatics or whatever, but we're truly your children. and we love you, and we want to walk with you and be our best for you. And we want to emulate our brother Jesus Christ and be Christ-like in every way. So we just thank you, Father, for that and for the joy it is to continue to grow and learn. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.